This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is The Morning Run and you're here with Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. Let's recap how markets closed last Friday.
Yeah, it was a very choppy day. You know, in the US, it was down. That was up 0.5%, but S&P 500 was down 0.1% and Nasdaq entered negative territory at 0.5%. Over at Asia, the Nikkei was up 0.8%, Hang Seng flat, marginally higher at 0.03%, but Shanghai was down 0.6%, while Singapore was up 0.3%. Back home in Malaysia, FBM KLCI was down 0.8%.
Yeah, probably the worst performing market in Southeast Asia, I think, on the back of nervousness with regards to the, at that time, unknown lockdown, or so markets reacted, but clearly markets are all over the place. So to help us have a quick take on where global markets might be heading this week, we speak to Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global. Kingsley, US equity markets whipsawed last week on high volatility over Bitcoin trades. Now, what do you think will be the main catalyst moving markets this week? Will it still be cryptos, inflation, or earnings?
Yeah, certainly the focus has been on crypto, particularly Bitcoin and the altcoins. And I think the price action we've seen recently, where it honestly it's collapsed and it's retraced more than half of the move upward from the $20,000 base to over $60,000. And I think it's now trading around the $35,000 mark. So that sort of fall will certainly cause investors in cryptocurrencies to think twice about their positions. And indeed, we think that speculative mania that we saw with SPACs and other vehicles is now drawing to a close. And I think, honestly, that's because there are opportunities elsewhere in cyclical companies worldwide, not only in the US. And investors will probably be gravitating towards those over time.
And Kingsley, although Asian tech stock prices have fallen recently, they're still trading above historical 10-year valuations. How should investors view them as additions to a portfolio currently?
I think the point you mentioned about them trading above their 10-year historical valuations just indicates the extent of the risks that remain in paying too much for growth at a time when we're starting to see some pretty good numbers for earnings growth in companies generally. So just to give that some context, I mean, earnings growth on average in the United States has been about 50% year on year in this particular earnings season. Now, of course, it's a low base, but that earnings growth will likely continue as we see reopening and strong stimulus. So it's a hard bar to beat for these tech companies in terms of the progress they can make at high valuations when their growth will oftentimes be lower than many other companies. So for that reason, we're favouring cyclicals at this time.
And Kingsley, you mentioned in the past that that these are excellent global conditions for steel, chemical and plastic suppliers. But wouldn't raw material price increases in commodities like oil and iron, which we are seeing now, actually make these companies less viable propositions because of a potential margin squeeze?
Well, you make an excellent point. I mean, that is the right question for investors to ask. Obviously, as raw material prices rise, that hurts the margins of intermediate manufacturers of goods like plastics. But if the demand is strong, then you can see that overwhelm the effect so that those players in turn can pass on their price rises downstream. And we're seeing evidence of that with what's called the producer price index. That's the manufacturing equivalent of the consumer price index. And that's been rising strongly all around the world at levels beyond the CPI. So we think that what that means is that basically this is a demand wave, and it's caused, we think, by two effects. The recovery from the pandemic saw consumers shift to goods, not services. And so there's big demand for manufacturing. And that's coincided also with a move by governments to fiscal stimulus, you know, building bridges and the like and highways. And that's producing a global construction boom, which is very commodities intensive.
And lastly, Australian banking stocks have been on an upward trajectory. How do you see their prospects shaping up this year as Australia's recovery goes from strength to strength?
Well, I think the future is bright for the Australian banks in several ways. You know, they had a long period of trading sideways before the pandemic. So there was almost 10 years, with the exception, say, of CBA, Commonwealth Bank, of most of the banks not making new highs. But I think conditions are ripe now for a couple of reasons. We've got a housing boom, and we've also got a generational shift in terms of the millennials are now homemaking. And that means their consumption basket is changing towards more homewares, and their need for credit to buy houses and cars and other things is actually growing. So we think at the beginning of quite a purple patch for the Australian banks, and the big support for that will be rising dividends this year. So we think certainly for this year, those banks have more room to move. And long term, we think it's actually going to be a good cycle for them for possibly as much as a decade.
Thank you for your time. That was Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global, giving us his views on where markets are heading this week. But I think volatility clearly here to stay. A lot of concerns. Crypto is not helping. Yep. Inflation remains, I think, something, a big question mark as to whether this will then lead to rate increases. And now the next thing related to inflation is input costs are all rising, which means that businesses are going to see a bit of a margin squeeze. What does this then mean for earnings? Everything is correlated.
And he seems to indicate a push towards cyclicals. You know, as crypto gets under pressure and the low base effect also helps with inflation also putting a lot of pressure on the tech companies, he's quite clear in his mind that the shift, and if you want to shift your portfolio, is to move towards more cyclical pay.
And he did talk about tech, which I think in the long term he still is quite bullish on. And related to this is on Friday, Tim Cook actually faced sharp questioning from the judge presiding over the ongoing Apple Epic trial, where Cook was made to give a testimony about Apple's App Store business model. Now, some background. Apple argues that Apple acts unfairly since their App Store charges a 30% fee on in-app purchases and does not allow alternative App Stores on the iPhone.
Now, this is a battle of epic proportions, Charlene.
No pun intended,
no
right?
No pun intended. You know, it reminds me of the time when Microsoft bundled Windows and Internet Explorer. There's a bit of that analogy and connectivity here. Now, the issue you have is that app developers are saying that Apple really has a dominant position. And of course, Apple's counter is that actually you can choose. You can choose between an iPhone or an Android system.
Is that a choice?
Not really a choice. And that's right. You know, you make a good point. If you actually look at market share, 45% of sales of iPhone in the US. Now, you compare with Malaysia, it's only 22%. So Apple has really a dominant position in the US with respect to iPhones.
Yeah, of course, this has had somewhat an impact on Apple share price, but I think it's also just the fact that there has been a sell down generally across tech, because that was clearly the big winner in 2020. I mean, the work from home phenomenon benefited all tech companies. But actually, if you look at Apple on a year-to-date basis, the price is actually down 5.47%. And this is a bit of a surprise to me. So Apple share price closed last Friday, $125, down $1.88. Nonetheless, it's still pretty much a darling on Wall Street, despite trading at a PE of 24 times. Now, if I look at the analysts that cover it, there are currently 33 buys, 10 holds, and just one sell, with a consensus target price of $156. So still a darling. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.